ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाया। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाया। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाया। So today we're reading text 27, I think. No, text 28. Jigyasita Atma Yatharyatha. Jigyasitatma yathartyo. Munehe vyasasutat asau. Muner vyasasutat asau. Hitva idam nripa. Gangayam hitvedang nripa gangayam yasyati adha akuta bhayam yasyatyadha kuto bhayam jigyasitatma yathartyo Muner vyasa sutadasau hitvedang nripa gangayam yasyatyadha kuto bhayam jigyasitatma yathartho jigyasitatma yathartyo Muner vyasa sutadasau hitvedang nripa gangayam yasyatyadha kuto bhayam Chikyasitatma yathartyo Muner vyasa sutadaso Hitvedang nripa gangayam Yasyat yadha kuto bhayam Chikyasitatma yathartyo Muner vyasa sutadaso Hitvedang nripa gangayam yasyat yadha kuto bhayam jigyasitatma yathartyo muner vyasa sutadasau hitvedang nripa gangayam yasyat yadha kuto bhayam Jigyasitatma yathartyo Muner vyasa sutadasau Hitvedang nripa gangayam Yasyat yadha kuto bhayam Jigyasitatma yathartyo Muner vyasa sutadasau hitvedang nripa gangayam yasyati adha kuto bhayam jigyasitatma yathartyo muner vyasa sutadasau hitvedang nripa gangayam Yasyat yadha kuto bhayam. Anyone else? No? Jigyasita, having inquired of. Atma yathartyaha, right knowledge of one's own self. Munehe, from the learned philosopher. Vyasa sutat, the son of Vyasa. Asau, he. Hitva, quitting. Idam, this material attachment. Nripa, O king. Gangayam, on the bank of the Ganges. Yasyati, will go. Adha, directly. Akutak payam, the life of fearlessness. Translation. After inquiring about proper self-knowledge from the son of Vyasadeva, who will be a great philosopher, he will renounce all material attachment and achieve a life of fearlessness. Please repeat. After inquiring about proper self-knowledge from the son of Vyasadeva, who will be a great philosopher, he will renounce all material attachment and achieve a life of fearlessness. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Material knowledge means, I'll just read it. Material knowledge means ignorance of the knowledge of one's own self. Philosophy means to seek after the right knowledge of one's own self, or the knowledge of self-realization. Without self-realization, philosophy is dry speculation or a waste of time and energy. Srimad Bhagavatam gives the right knowledge of one's own self, and by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, one can get free from material attachment and enter into the kingdom of fearlessness. This material world is fearfulness. Its prisoners are always fearful, as within a prison house. In the prison house, no one can violate the jail rules and regulations. And violating the rules means another term for extension of prison life. Similarly, we in this material existence are always fearful. This fearfulness is called anxiety. Everyone in the material life, in all species and varieties of life, is full of anxieties, either by breaking or without breaking the laws of nature. Liberation, or mukti, means getting relief from these constant anxieties. This is possible only when the anxiety is changed to the devotional service of the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam gives us the chance to change the quality of anxiety from matter to spirit. This is done in the association of a learned philosopher like the self-realized Shukadeva Goswami, the great son of Sri Vyasadeva. Maharaj Parikshit, after receiving warning of his death, took advantage of this opportunity by association with Shukadeva Goswami and achieved the desired result. There is a sort of imitation of this reciting and hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam by professional men, and their foolish audience thinks that they will get free from the clutches of material attachment and attain the life of fearlessness. Such imitative hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam is a caricature only, and one should not be misled by such a performance of Bhagavatam Saptaha, undertaken by ridiculous, greedy fellows to maintain an establishment of material enjoyment. So we'll read the Mangala Charanam from here. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Miditangyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. The last yellow tab in this blue book. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtang Stapitangyena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Ahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Patakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parichana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitangscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Shri Shri Navadvipa Parapradipa Sandipyamana Satato Bhaviha Chetastamo Hantihi Yasya Yatnat Tankirtayamak Prabhupada Devam Shri Bhakti Siddhanta Prachoditak Shri Vyasadyako Shankushalang Kripalahu Sanmletcha Bhagdesha Chayedadadyas Tankirtayamak Prabhupada Devam Achadyate Yat Paratarka Drishya Govinda Murtyujvala Bhaskarena Advaita Kadyota Kulang Jagatyang Tankirtayamak Prabhupada Devam Yasya eva yatnena purana raja Gangamala Keshava Keli Hangsa Satstotra Ratna Vahiti Haloke Tankirtayamak Prabhupada Devam Sri Radhika Krishna Padaravinde Sahasra Hritsu Shatamandirishu Aropayadyo Madhure Prithivyang Tankirtayamak Prabhupada Devam Kaushalya Dair Yasya Sahasra Shastra Shastrati Pranitehi Chanda Kaler Mohachamur Hatena Tankirtayamak Prabhupada Devam Nana Alasalya Sakasha Palakshita Ostapita Eva Yena Krishna Nuchinta Jana Sangha Brikshas Tankirtayamak Prabhupada Devam Yo Nityada Jivati Daivikishu Nijasu Sikashu Tanasangama Ni Kripambudhir Nandasuta Tatma Tankirtayamak Prabhupada Devam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Dinamine Sri Varshabhanavi Devi Taitaya Kripabdhaye Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Daine Prabhave Namaha Madhuryojvala Premadhya Shri Rupanuga Bhaktida Shri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gauravani Shri Murtaye Dinatarine Rupanuga Virudhapa Siddhanta Tvantaharine Namo Gaura Kishoraya Sakshad Vairagya Murtaye Vipralambhara Sambhode Padambhujayate Namaha Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Sachidananda Namine Gaura Shakti Swarupaya Rupanuga Varayate Gauravir Bhava Bhume Stvang Nirdeshta Sachana Priyaha Vaishnava Sarva Bhomak Shri Jagannathaya Te Namaha Bancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanang Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Namaha Pancha Tattvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Jayatam Surato Pangor Mama Manda Matergati Matsarvasvapadam Pojao Radha Madana Mohano Divyad Vrindaranya Kalpadrumadha Srimad Ratnagara Singhasanastau Srimad Radha Srila Govinda Devau Prashtali Bhiksevyamano Smarami Sriman Rasa Rasarambi Vangshi Vatatatakstitaha Karshan Venus Vanair Gopir Gopinathak Shriyestunaha Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vrindayai Tulsidevyai Priyayai Keshavashacha Vishnu Bhakti Prade Devi Satya Bhatyai Namo Namaha Shri Nishringha Jaya Nishringha Jaya Jaya Nishringha Prahladesha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bringha Matsamo Nasti Papatma Naparadhi Chakashana Harihare pilachame king bruve purushottama yuvati nang yata yuni yunang cha yuvatao yata mano bhiramate tadvan mano me ramatang twayi bhumas kalita padanang bhumire bhavalambanam twayi chata paradhanam twameva sharanang prabho govinda valabhe radhe prarthaye twam mahansada Twadiyam iti janatu Govindo mam twayasaha Radhe vrindavanadhishe Karunamrita vahini Kripaya nijapadabja Dasyang mayang pradiyatam Bande nanda vrajastrinang Padarenum abhikshnashaha Yasang harikatar gitang Punati bhuvanatrayam Namashrishtang manumappi Sachiputramatra swarupam Shri Rupam Tasya Grajamuru Puring Maturing Goshtavatim Radha Kundang Girivaram Mahoradhika Madhavashang Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shri Gurung Tang Natosmi Adadana Strinang Dantair Idang Yache Punak Punaha Srimad Rupa Padam Bhoja Rajohang Syam Babe Babe Hantayam Madrir Abala Haridasya Varyo Yad Rama Krishna Charana Sparasha Pramodaha Manang Tanoti Sahago Ganayosta Yoryat Paniya Suya Vasakandara Kandamulahi Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Just a second. So this verse in purport, we covered some of the topics that we were discussing in the morning. Excuse me. Jigyasitatma Gyatartyo Munir Vyasa Sutad Asau Hitvedang Nripagangayang Yasyat Yad Ha kuto bhayam. After inquiring about proper self-knowledge from the son of Vyasadeva, who will be a great philosopher, he will renounce all material attachment and achieve a life of fearlessness. Last week we heard that the prediction that Parikshit Maharaj would hear about his death to be caused by the bite of a snake bird, and after hearing that he would get himself free from all material attachment and surrendered unto the personality of Godhead, taking shelter of him. And now, this week, they're elaborating that he will inquire about proper self-knowledge from the son of Vyas, Shukadeva Goswami, who will be a great philosopher. And after making such inquiry, he will renounce all material attachment and achieve a life of fearlessness. Even though, what is everybody afraid of? Ultimately, they're afraid of all kinds of things, pain and loss, and embarrassment, and so many things. But ultimately, death also is a very fearful thing for everyone. And then the chanting of Hare Krishna is feared by fear personified. What's that verse? Who knows that verse from the first canto? I don't know it. Ananta. It's Yad Pibeti Swayam Bayam. That's the fourth line. Well, here, it will be in here. I can find it, because it will be in here. And it will be in the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto. And it's verse, chapter 1, verse 14. Apanak sangshritin koram. Page 156. Apanak sangshritin korang yanama vivasho grinan. Tatak sadyo vimuchyeta yad bipeti swayang bhayam. Living beings who are entangled in the complicated meshes of birth and death can be freed immediately by even unconsciously chanting the holy name of Krishna, which is feared by fear personified. So, Srila Prabhupada describes or contrasts material knowledge with philosophy. He's using those two words in different ways. And he's saying material knowledge means ignorance of the knowledge of one's own self. So we can have a lot of kinds of material knowledge that doesn't actually lead us to freedom. Yes.
Ramananda. Sorry, Prabhuji, I have one question. Actually, I encountered this verse maybe yesterday or a couple of days ago, the same verse, and I was just immediately I got this question. Now I got the opportunity to ask you.
Jai. Just see.
This verse says that living beings who are entangled in the complicated meshes of birth and death can be freed immediately. I'm stressing immediately here. By even unconsciously chanting the holy name of Krishna, which is feared by fear personified. So it says immediately, and as far as I know, I am chanting, not sometimes unconsciously, sometimes consciously. And it's so much time has already been passed. And I'm not yet free from the entanglement of complicated meshes of birth and death.
You will be. You're already free. You're just like the fan has to wind itself down.
But why does this verse say immediately?
Well, it can happen immediately. And you've certainly had some glimpses of it, right? I mean, whenever you chant japa, or not every time, but sometimes in kirtans and stuff, you feel great relief from anxiety. And this is testament to the power of the holy name. So Haridas Thakur was speaking in an assembly of brahmanas and so forth, and he said that even a shadow of the holy name, even the nama bhasa, can give one immediately liberation, and one proud brahmana ridiculed him for saying that, thinking, you know, that how could that be? And because of that offense, that brahmana had to suffer some leprosy. And but actually, the holy name is very, very powerful. And when we chant it, we can feel some, even though we're materially conditioned and we're absorbed in these different modes of material nature and we have so many habits, by chanting Hare Krishna, by Prabhupada's mercy, we felt some relief. We've gotten some glimpse of the spiritual platform. Actually, in the Nectar Devotion, it says that by these five processes of chanting Hare Krishna, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam with devotees, worshipping the deities, residing in a holy place and worshipping Tulsi Devi, or what's the fifth one? Association of devotees and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam is two different ones? Okay. So these five preliminary practices of bhakti are so powerful that even a neophyte can get some glimpse of what spiritual ecstasy is from that. But to actually become, now our process is to get free from anartas so that we can become steadily on that platform. And then from there, real love can grow. You can't doubt that the holy name is so powerful. There are many instances in history when someone almost, even unconsciously, just like Ajamil, unconsciously he was calling out to his son because he was frightened, and because of pronouncing the holy name, the Vishnu Dutas appeared before him, prevented the Yamadutas from taking him to hell at that time. But even for him, he didn't immediately go up to Vaikuntha at that time, but he didn't die, and then he went to Hardwar and practiced bhakti yoga until he became so perfect that the same Vishnu Dutas came down on a golden airplane, and he gave up his body and boarded the airplane and went off. So, I think he gave up his body. He didn't go right in his same body, did he? It doesn't matter though. Either way, he went. So the holy name is that powerful. But we have to become expert at chanting it, and so we have to become more situated in the mode of goodness so that we can steadily remain in the transcendental position And for that, we have to learn the we have to undergo the purificatory practices and of Vaidhi Bhakti and initiation under the rules of the Pancharatrika Vidhi, and we have to practice chanting, because the chanting itself is so powerful. Even if we're thinking, last week you were asking, what if I'm not feeling ecstasy when I'm chanting? But you are associating with the name of Krishna. This is Krishna's name, is none different from himself. He's very powerful, and this is the form of Krishna that comes in this age of Kali. He comes as Srimad Bhagavatam. He has invested all his holy names with all his transcendental power. And he, in his form as Lord Chaitanya, he commands us all to constantly chant his holy names. And, you know, even if we're not chanting in this pure mood of humble supplication and love, we are still getting purified, immensely purified, by associating with these holy names. Of course, if we make too many offenses, then we won't get any effects. We have to give up the offenses. But we can't give up the chanting.
Yeah, but my question is about, then should this be interpreted as, right now it says the living beings who are entangled in the complicated meshes of birth and death can be freed immediately. And as far as I can see, that is not happening, because many are chanting and they are not freed immediately. Or other way we can interpret this verse is, living beings who are entangled in the complicated meshes of birth and death, it says can be freed, not are freed. It means it is saying what it is capable of, not that it can. Okay.
But I think that all of you in this room, you are freed. It's just waiting to happen now. Because, like Prabhupada would sometimes say that, all my disciples are pure devotees. And then someone would say, you know, how is that? He said, well, they may be like a green mango, and then later it will become a ripe mango. Narada Muni actually says this in the fifth chapter. He's saying that one who gives up his material occupation to perform devotional service of the Lord, even if he falls down in an immature stage, he's not the same as an ordinary fruitive worker. He's never the same, because having once tasted the fragrance of the Lord's lotus feet, he can do nothing but remember that again and again. Navayajano jatu katanchanavrajan mukunda sevyanvaya angasangsritim smaran mukundang gripaguhanang punar vihatamichen narasa graho janaha. So let's see what... Oh, you have one? I want to read this purport of text 14. What's your name, Prabhu? Go ahead and tell your name and also ask a question.
Gaurakanti Das.
Yeah. What is it?
Gaurakanti Das.
Gaurakanti Das?
Yeah. Just thought of this, so I just wanted to share it. There is a story of Sripad Ramanujacharya when he had his prasadam and he was just washing the remnants on the side of a lake, and then few fishes ate those remnants, and then they immediately assumed the Vaikuntha forms and went back to Vaikuntha Loka. And then his disciples were there and they were thinking that we are eating this prasadam every day and we are not feeling, you know, we don't have that assume that form. But then Ramanujacharya explains that these fishes, they ate it very innocently, you know, and because they accepted this prasadam wholeheartedly, that prasadam had immediate effect.
Uh-huh.
And then they assumed the form of Vaikuntha bodies, and then they went back to Vaikuntha look. But we are not wholeheartedly accepting it.
Yeah,
that's why we are to. But anyway, we are still in the process, and sometime or someday we may chant innocently or intensely, and then that holy name will have that effect.
So we're trying to become sadhana siddhi. Yeah. There are some people are perfect because they perform their sadhana perfectly correctly, and some people are perfect because they just got mercy, somehow special mercy, and they became perfect. And some people are just always perfect. but Srila Prabhupada says about that just because, you know, there are so many stories you can see of someone who, like Haridas Thakur, saw, I think, a Muslim was being gored by a boar, you know, a big giant pig was killing him, you know, and while he was dying, he was saying, haram, haram, you know, Oh, how horrible. Oh, how abominable and impure it is, you know, that it's, you know, like haram is the opposite of halal, you know, it's like not kosher, it's contaminated. So he was, and a pig can't be, Muslims can't be, you know, touch pork because it's haram, it's impure. And so he was being killed by this pig and he was saying haram. But Haridas Thakur perceived it because he was, even though he was a Muslim, he was not a Hindu, but he was chanting the name of Ram. When he died, he became liberated. And you could see that. So Prabhupada says in this connection that sometimes you see that a university will give an honorary degree. Some person will come and speak at a commencement address and he'll be famous. He may not have gone to college. He may be an athlete or an entertainer or something like that, or did some magnanimous philanthropic work, and they'll say, now you have a doctorate of, you know, philosophy from our college or something like that. So Srila Prabhupada says, even though that sometimes people get an honorary degree, we can't just expect to wait and then we might get it. It's a very rare thing. So we should enroll in the college and do the homework, take the exams, take all the classes, earn our credits, and eventually we will get the degree too. But let's see what it says in the purport too. I have the book here. I don't think you can all have it, so I'll just read it out loud to you. In the text 1, Canto 1, Chapter 1, Text 14. Living beings who are entangled in the complicated meshes of birth and death can be freed immediately by even unconsciously chanting the holy name of Krishna, which is feared by fear personified. Purport, Vasudeva, or Lord Krishna, the absolute personality of Godhead, is the supreme controller of everything. There is no one in creation who is not afraid of the rage of the Almighty. Great asuras like Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, Kamsa, and others were very powerful living entities were all killed by the personality of Godhead. And the Almighty Vasudeva has empowered his name with the powers of his personal self. Everything is related to him, and everything has its identity in him. It is stated herein that the name of Krishna is feared even by fear personified. This indicates that the name of Krishna is non-different from Krishna. Therefore, the name is as powerful as Lord Krishna himself. There is no difference at all. Anyone, therefore, can take advantage of the holy names of Lord Sri Krishna, even in the midst of the greatest dangers. The transcendental name of Krishna, even though uttered unconsciously or by the force of circumstance, can help one obtain freedom from the hurdle of birth and death. So we should all be very practiced in chanting the holy names of Krishna at all times, whenever we can. I know myself, my mind, you know, like we were reading in the verse that everyone has this subtle body, which was, were we reading it in the Brahma Samhita, that we have these material bodies which are made of material elements, then we have the mind, intelligence, ego, and they're full of sinful desires, and we can't get free of them until the point of liberation. And sometimes I have a kirtan going on in my mind, and sometimes I have some, I mean, I woke up this morning and I was hearing Louis Armstrong sing "What a Wonderful World," you know. You know, so that if I die while I'm hearing Louis Armstrong, I don't know where I'll go, you know. Jazz Dixie Loca or something like that. But so we have to train ourselves to chant Hare Krishna, and also you know, when we wake up in the morning, we should start chanting, so that we can immediately purify the mind. And then when any dangerous circumstance comes, if there's, you know, you hear a loud sound or some startling thing happens, you should be in the habit of immediately chanting the holy name. You know, Krishna, Gornitai, Nityananda, whatever. You should chant like that. Because sometime you may be in a car accident, or the airplane you're flying on may start plummeting or something like that. And you want to remember Krishna, the holy name, the lotus feet. You don't want to remember something. So I think someone gave a class in Mayapur recently. It might have been Irmala's class, but I was listening to one of the classes that was given in Mayapur during the festival, and someone said that he was swimming in the Ganga there in Mayapur, and he started to drown, and he started to be pulled under by the current. And even though he was there in Mayapur, and he was in the Ganga, and he was drowning in the Ganga, what was going on in his mind was he was remembering a chewing gum commercial from when he was a child seen on TV. So then he lived, and he lived to tell the tale, and he didn't die at that time. So we should become very, very accustomed to chanting the holy name. And this is the example is here that Parikshit Maharaj had gotten foreknowledge of his death, that he had 1 week to live. And he showed by his example how he used that time to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from person who is completely freed from material desires and who is a pure devotee of the Lord. So that is an important quality, that we should hear Srimad Bhagavatam. There's the verse in the 10th canto. Let me see if I can find it here. It's the very beginning of the 10th canto, chapter 1, verse 4, I think. Yes, Nivritta Tarshayar Upagiya Manad Bhavo Shadhat Strotramano Biramat Kautama Shloka Gunanu Vadat Puman Virajeta Vina Pushugnat. So Parikshit Maharaj is so pleased with hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, and now he's about to hear the stories of Krishna directly, all the pastimes of Krishna in the 10th canto. And he tells, it says Shukadev Goswami instructs Maharaj Parikshit, but I thought it was Maharaj Parikshit addressing Shukadev Goswami. Either way, it says, glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is performed in the parampara system. That is, it is conveyed from spiritual master to disciple. Such glorification is relished by those no longer interested in the false temporary glorification of this cosmic manifestation. Descriptions of the Lord are the right medicine for the conditioned soul undergoing repeated birth and death. Therefore, who will cease hearing such glorification of the Lord except a butcher or one who is killing his own self? So, Srila Prabhupada is saying at the beginning of this purport that material knowledge means ignorance of knowledge of one's own self. So we have material science and technology and so forth, but as long as it's not actually explaining that we're not this body, we're spirit soul, we're part and parcel of Krishna, and how we can become re-engaged in Krishna consciousness and devotional service, then it's not really very high-class knowledge. It's not liberating. He calls it ignorance of the knowledge of one's own self. There are two different things. It's a nescience. But he says, philosophy means to seek after the right knowledge of one's own self, or the knowledge of self-realization. Like that was the saying of Socrates, right? Man, know thyself. Right? That's philosophy. Know what you really are. Why am I suffering? These are the questions Sanatana Goswami, Kiyami, who am I? What am I? Why am I suffering? Why am I going through all these experiences like a whirlpool we were describing earlier, we were hearing about from that purport in the Brahma Samhita, that we have all these sensations coming, waking, sleeping, happiness, distress, different difficult situations, and we're undergoing misery because of it, and anxiety because of it. And that's our position. Because we're in Maya, because we haven't really become sadhana siddha or kripa siddha. We're still, we've had some touch with, all of us here, we've had some touch with that transcendental vibration, and now it's a matter of us just becoming, practicing. Practice makes perfect, until we can stay in that transcendental recollection of Krishna, His holy name, all the time. So without self-realization, philosophy is dry speculation or a waste of time and energy. So self-realization, particularly realization of Krishna Sambandha Jnana, you know, our relationship with Krishna, that we are eternal servants of Krishna, that's the goal of all philosophy, and it's the life of transcendental knowledge. Or the wife of transcendental knowledge, as Lord Chaitanya says in the Shikshastika. And it goes along with, by devotional service, by glorifying Krishna, automatically transcendental knowledge and detachment from the world follow as concomitant factors. And it makes everything beautiful and frees us from anxiety. So that's first-class knowledge. And any other knowledge without that's devoid of that atma-tattva, that's devoid of that knowledge of the self, there are some verses, Hare Krishna, Haribo, in the second canto about atma-tattva and stuff, that which is devoid of knowledge of the actual, you know, condition, ontological position of the self as a spiritual part and parcel, fragment of Krishna, is very low-class knowledge. That is, the people that are devoid of that knowledge, they're interested in so many other subject matters. They're interested in different kinds of, some of them want action movies, and some of them want horror movies, and some of them want romance, light comedy, and light romantic comedy. Or there's a part in Hamlet where the actors come to town and they're saying, we can do tragical, historical, farcical, we can do... They describe all the different styles of dramas there are and things like that. But the dramas that are explained, the pastimes of Krishna that are explained by pure devotees, those are the proper medicine that they can enter into our ears. And when we discuss them among association of devotees like this, we're all loyal to Srila Prabhupada. We're all hearing from the right source, listening to his purports, trying to understand his meanings and everything. That's far different from the professional performances of Bhagavad Saptaha that Srila Prabhupada is always criticizing. I don't know much about them. I've never been to I see, when I go to India, I see there are signs with pictures of different reciters and stuff, and they're advertising. It's like a performance, and people, I guess they charge money for tickets, or at least everybody gives a lot of donations, right, when they come or something, and people become wealthy and successful because they're known as great performers and reciters, but they're not following they're not pure devotees, they're not following the principles, they haven't dedicated their life to Krishna, they're you know, someone also, you can see, you know, different people are performers. They can sing a beautiful song. Everybody likes to go here, go see a musical, like a Bollywood movie where they have singers, or like a musical theater, you know, Rodgers and Hammerstein, The Sound of Music, or whatever. And then, you know, when you hear someone sing a song and they have a beautiful voice and there's beautiful music, it brings out all these different emotions, and it's a powerful experience. And if someone's a good performer, they can sing with real emotional conviction, and but also they can sing with the proper tune and everything. But if someone is really a pure devotee, then they can convey the message of Krishna. Parikshit Maharaj wasn't going to hear some entertaining performance, and he wasn't going to do some pious ritual in order to get merit from it. He was going to die, and he wanted to know. And he was always a pure devotee all his life, a pure devotee of Krishna all his life, and the king of the emperor of the world. He was told he was going to die, and he took the opportunity to know what his duty was perfectly, and it was very serious. He was able to hear and fully understand the pastimes of Sri Krishna, how they were transcendental. What is it? Janma karma chame divyam evang yoveti tatvataha tyakva dehang punar janma naiti mamiti sorjuna. So when we can really understand and hear the pastimes of Krishna, not people in general, they want to hear about the 10th canto, they want to hear about the rasa dance and the Krishna's love affair with the gopis, but they don't understand who Krishna is, and they can't get the effect of it. Unless they've really understood the first 9 cantos, unless they really understand Bhagavad Gita, unless they really live the life of a devotee, they practice devotion under regulation, then maybe somebody gets an honorary degree. But you can't expect to get an honorary degree. To actually do, Srila Prabhupada writes that generally people sometimes say, you know, oh, bhakti yoga is the easy path for the women and the shudras and those who can't really do the high-grade activities of jnana and vairagya and tapasya and so forth. But Srila Prabhupada says, to actually do bhakti correctly, if you say, well, if it's the easy path, why don't you do it, you know? But they can't do it. Like he said, he saw one cartoon that he liked where they were saying, a woman was saying to her husband, chant, chant, chant. They were seeing some devotees were having kirtan. She was saying, chant, chant, chant. And the husband was saying, can't, can't, can't. It really is the easy path, you know. What's so hard about it? We just have to love Krishna. We bow down to him. We chant. We only take prasadam. We are, you know, when you love someone, then it's easy to think of them always. They're always in your mind. Even the mundane love songs are, you know, like Willie Nelson, "You are always on my mind." This is the natural experience of love, that when you love someone, you think of everything. You're always thinking, when will I see that person? And always thinking about how to make them happy. And so this is just natural for a devotee. It's very easy. But for one who's entangled in material life, for us, it's difficult because we become servants of our senses, of our material body. When we experience material discomfort, when I'm hungry or I'm cold or I'm thirsty or I'm tired, you know, we're experiencing that as like the most significant thing, and our service to Krishna, we're forgetful of it, you know. So we have to be trained out of that. And when we're trained right, Prabhupada says here that we have to transfer that anxiety. Everyone's in anxiety. You can see all species of life, the little birds, they're eating and pecking, and they're all just looking around, and they're very nervous, because some other big bird is going to come and get them, you know. And time is like that. Always, it's the English poet Thomas Marville. At my back, I always hear time's winged chariots hurrying near. You know, we're always being chased down. And all our plans and everything will all get swept away in the great expanse of time. That kalosmi lokakshaya krit pravrid. Kalosmi lokakshaya krit pravridho. The universal form. Arjuna asks who he is, and he says, "I'm time, and I'm destroying everyone, I'm killing everyone." And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that there are some verses from other Vedic authorities that say that all of the brahmanas, kshatriyas, vaishyas, shudras, everybody in the end of creation, they're like just eaten by the universal form. They're made a big meal by the universal form. Just it devours, all devouring time. So this anxiety is there, and Srila Prabhupada says, we have to everyone in material life, in all species of varieties of life, is full of anxieties. And then he says, either by breaking or without breaking the laws of nature. So people who commit sins are breaking the laws of nature, but even people who are pious, they're still full of anxieties. But he said, liberation means getting relief from these constant anxieties, and this is possible only when the anxiety is changed to the devotional service of the Lord. So we have to have that determination to do our duty, that anxiety, that, well, I, you know, have I done my duty? I'm in anxiety now because I'm supposed to be writing an article for the marathon, monthly Sankirtan festival, and I haven't been able to get to it, and I haven't done it. Today we have to go out and distribute books, because we have to double book distribution. You know, if Vaishasika feels anxiety that, you know, how are we going to increase book distribution? If you look at the World Sankirtan newsletters, you see how in 1978, 1979, ISKCON was distributing, you know, over 15 million books a year. 15 million, something like that. And then there, we had some years where we went down to like 2 million a year. And now we've, you know, gradually, you know, and we've been back to 10 million sometimes. I think we've averaged for the last like 40 years or 30 years, we've been over 10 million average. But there are years that are 2 million, 4 million, 6 million. And now we're in the 8 to 10 million books a year. We've already distributed 1 million... like about, I think 1.4 million books for January, February, March, you know. And most books come in December, but we're going to have a lot in June this year too. But most books come in December, you know, in the marathon. So, you know, we're on track to having a pretty good year. You know, material businesses, they also, they keep accounting and they look at their charts and see how the business is going, and if, you know, they have to value the business. And investors, if they do an IPO, they'll be able to look at sales, growth of sales, you know, market share, all these other kind of factors. So Krishna Purushottama has something to say.
No, I'm just thinking, it strikes my mind like Kali Yuga is progressing, so people are not taking books, like this God consciousness is going down, so that if we increase more distribution.
Yeah, yeah, we're distributing so many books, so people are becoming more and more favorable to receiving these books. Actually, these numbers from 1978 and 1979 are all the more amazing because, you know, these were mostly... Now, the books are being sold in India. Also, the Russians have proven to be very interested in these books. But in India, of course, you know, these temples, New Delhi, Mayapur... Mayapur did huge last month, you know, number one.
They have a boat Sankirtan, Prabhu.
They have boat Sankirtan.
They will go to village in a boat. Uh-huh. And they distribute books, and it's amazing. I can't, like, you know, imagine.
Yeah, we all have these different things. You know, like in the 70s, they started to, in Brazil, they would have the bus Sankirtan. All the people in Brazil, they would go around in buses because they didn't ride airplanes and stuff. So if they have to go some long distance, they go in buses. And they're all traveling in buses. People don't have cars as much. So they would, the devotees would go onto the buses. And they would walk up and down the aisle and they would pass the books out to everyone and make a speech. Hare Krishna. And then they would ask everyone, they were going to go around and you keep the book, they make a speech about how they could. So they'd go, you know, they'd in the bus depot in you know, Sao Paulo or something like that, where there's millions of buses, they would just go all day long amidst all the diesel smoke and everything like that. They would go in and they would pass books out to everyone on the bus, make a little speech, and then say, now we're going to come around and take donations from everyone. Some people would give back the book, but most people would give some donation because they're pious people. And these guys were doing huge that way. And so the boat Sankirtan is going on. But I mean, nowadays we have these big numbers, but we're seeing a lot of these books are being sold in Delhi, in Tirupati, in Mayapur, in Bombay and stuff. But... But, you know, those days we were selling in, you know, in America, in England, in France. There was one devotee named Rama Vijaya, and he was like a celebrity. I don't know who he is, but somehow or another in France he was an actor on TV or movies or something like that. So it's like when everybody saw him, it was like, wow, you know, it's like if, well, imagine George Clooney or somebody, Brad Pitt, is out there in the parking lot. Where people are going shopping and they're all coming up to him and he's saying, I'm distributing these books, you know, and he would just have like two or three devotees would be bringing him more and more books while he would just be signing them. So everybody was buying them. So, but this, but book distribution is getting easier. Actually, the Americans are much more favorable and easier to sell books to than ever before. They're interested in religion, in exploring other religions, you know. And when I was a kid, it was the Cold War and the big thing that everybody's in anxiety all the time, as we know. But the anxiety was between whether communism or capitalism would become, you know, come to the fore as the great thing. But now there's this Muslim extremists and that whole issue of this is the big, and somehow or another, it's made people be interested in, you know, what, you know. What are the other, you know, we're Christians, but what are the other religions about? What do they say? And you know, how are they related, not related? And, you know, people have some interest in yoga. Yoga is popular now. You know, everybody has some interest in yoga. There's a lot more vegetarians now. You know, Shukadeva Goswami or Parikshit Maharaj, whoever it was. I always thought it was Parikshit Maharaj saying that verse number 4. But, you know, he said that only a butcher would not listen to Srimad Bhagavatam. But most of the Americans, they're not vegetarians. But now more and more are becoming vegetarians. So this is King Parikshit saying, verse number 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, Nivrittatar Shai Rupaki Yamana. That's still King Parikshit Maharaj talking. I don't know why they said it differently in the... So we can distribute these books, and then Sutta Goswami then starts talking on the 14th verse. So we can distribute these books, and we can and send Vaishasikas in anxiety to, you know, his temple. I remember, what was it, 5-7 years ago, or how long, I don't even remember. He was thinking, you know, he's been involved with this temple, he's temple president of this temple, and then he was thinking, you know, we're not distributing it. You know, I'm the minister of North American book distribution or something. In my own temple, we're not distributing any books. We got to do something, you know, to distribute those books. And now, you know, we're a small temple, but we're doing very well for an American temple compared to the other North American temples and everything. We're doing very well with our weekend warriors. We don't have a, you know, we don't have a full-time brahmachari, brahmacharini group that goes out every day and goes out on book distribution. But we're doing this nice thing, and we're doing it very nicely, very purely. That we're, you know, used to be a lot of times we would go out and we would give them a sticker or a flag or something, and we would tell them some we were collecting money for some, and then, you know, almost like as an afterthought, we'd hand them a book, you know, if we got some money from them or something. And a lot of people might not even read those books or you know, might throw them away or something. But, you know, we're going out and we're presenting the books, talking about the books. People are talking about it with us. Some devotees have asked me. Actually, I was at a party. Some devotee was visiting from India, and I went and met her family, and she had some friends there who were older devotees. One of the older devotees was asking me, oh, we've distributed so many books, but is it really, you know, is it really doing anything? What are, you know, what's the effects of the book distribution? But all of us who became devotees got some book, you know. And if we're, I mean, yeah, it might be great someday to have devotees on television, on the talk shows talking about Krishna. And that might inspire more book distribution, you know, create a demand. If you had advertisements, if we had billboards, you know, I've noticed some billboards, Muslims have billboards now. You want to talk about what's in the Quran or something, call this number. And, you know, it would be great if we had billboards with pictures of Krishna and we had more awareness. But mainly, you know, where the rubber meets the road is some face-to-face confrontation with a devotee. And what we're doing is we're going there and we're devotees and we're saying, I've read this book, I like this book, it's great, this is what it's about. And they have the experience of, you know, entering into the vibration of a devotee's mood and everything. And this is the way these books... You know, books distinguish this ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada's movement, from many other spiritual groups who, you know, they teach some practice or something. You know, you do some pranayama, you do some meditation or something. But we have, our tradition is that we're hearing and chanting and we're reciting the great words of great devotees and of Krishna and of demigods and prayers describing Krishna. It's authorized knowledge. And, you know, by going out there and... distributing people, inviting people to enter into this conversation. This is Sankirtan. Jaya Srimati Tulsi Devi, Vrindaya Tulsi Devi, Priyaya Keshavashacha, Krishna Bhakti Paridevi, Satyavachaya Namo Namaha.
Jaya Srimati Tulsi Devi. Today morning I received a news, Prabhu, from Laguna Beach Temple.
Uh-huh.
Vaisheshika Prabhu started MSF, I think, 1 month before. So they are going 30 devotees out today for Soka University.
Oh.
Some convention, Prabhu.
Nice.
And we send them Vietnamese books and all Farsi Bhagavad Gita, all books. I think Vedavit Prabhu is leading Sankirtan.
How did everything go at the Cherry Blossom Festival last week?
Oh, it was okay, Prabhu.
It was okay? A lot of people?
Yeah, it All Japanese, as you told in the morning. Yeah. It's a Japanese festival. But it's
Did we have Japanese books?
No. But it was not disaster, but it was okay. But not people are in more into music, Prabhu. In that sound, we can't explain them. Uh-huh. Like, there is a lot of drum music going on there.
There was the taiko.
Yeah, it's
right?
A park, Prabhu. It's an open park and people are moving.
But Japanese still, have a drumming tradition, taiko, the drumming.
Yeah, culture. And like they are kshatriyas, right, Prabhu? They have this. Samurai.
Yeah. So we should have the Indian cultural festivals, like the Himalayan festival and the Independence Day festivals and things like that. We should try to get better representation there, and people will be coming there. And we're having Rath Yatra, but we should have festivals. Festivals is another great way to spread Krishna consciousness and show it's a whole culture. It's not just, it's not just a. Like they used to have one group, TM, it used to have an advertisement that would say, TM is not, a religion, a philosophy, a way of life. You know, what it is just 15 minutes a day for better health and prosperity. And that was one marketing technique that they had. But our technique is the opposite. Or, we might just, the thin edge of the wedge, and maybe that was Mahesh Yogi's idea too, the thin end of the wedge is, chant this mantra, you can sing it, it sounds good, we have fun, we can dance and chant with it, and taste this nice vegetarian food, it's been offered to Krishna, it's holy. If you get it, it becomes something that you can cause you to dedicate your whole life. We have everything. We have the greatest literature, the greatest music, the greatest philosophy, the greatest morality, way of life, everything is there in these books. But, it has taken some time to expand out, and we shouldn't be negative about it. Yeah, there'll be obstacles, there'll be challenges. But we have Krishna with us. Wherever there's Krishna and Arjuna, there's victory, there's power, there's morality, there's, extraordinary power. So we don't have to be discouraged. But what we're doing on this book distribution is we're carrying on this conversation. Parikshit Maharaj had this conversation with Shukadeva Goswami 5,000 years ago. Lord Krishna had this conversation with Arjuna 5,000 years ago. Haribol Rakshit Prabhu. And now we want to introduce people to, what did they say, Just like Dhritarashtra was asking Sanjaya, what did they do there? They're getting there ready to fight. And then Sanjaya is telling them, well, let me tell you about this. Before the battle, there's this conversation. Let me tell you what Krishna said and what Arjuna said. So we're inviting everyone to hear that conversation. Like we said before, the speaker should be qualified. The questioner should be qualified. All of the audience then can make such great benefit. Everyone benefits.
Well, to achieve that goal, in this weekend, we need to distribute 600 books.
600 books.
So
we should easily...
Today, if we distribute 600, tomorrow we can blast the goals.
Do we have Rakshit Prabhu? Do we have a full set of Bhagavatams? I have someone who called me and inquired about buying a full set.
We have the small 44.
Yeah. The whole set, yeah. One, just one of them. Do you have it at Sankirtan Central? Or?
Yes, we do.
I'm going to use it today. He might buy a used set from me because I have several different sets. But I don't want to distract the whole Bhagavatam class. I'll talk to you afterwards. But I'll show him. You can have this small set for, 108? We still sell it for? Or 125?
No, the 44 volume set is 199.
Oh, okay. So this is the 44 volume. So it has the whole 10th canto, 11th canto, 12th canto, Jai. Okay, any more questions and comments? I have a question. We sang the Guru Puja song this morning, but we didn't have the arati, the Guru Puja arati. Are we gonna do that now? Okay. So, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.